Thank you so much, my brother. You do well if you have a Bible and you keep your Bible open on the Gospel of John, and especially on chapter 3. Over the last weeks, we have looked at several of Jesus' personal encounters while he was here on earth. And it was good to see the confrontation that Jesus had. It was simple, direct, and right to the point. We have watched him as he interacted with the sick people. We have watched our marvelous Lord that love lost people and talk to the lost people in a marvelous way. And he did the impossible that mankind cannot do, and he did it for them. We have seen him heal the sick. And most of anything, if I look into my messages that I did, he was dealing with people who were lost and have no idea of God, and he reached them out. I want today to sneak into a conversation between the Lord Jesus and a man who has a PhD in theology, Nicodemus. I want you and I to hear for ourselves the great truth that Jesus shared with this man. He was a PhD. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jewish religion. I want us to hear for ourselves the great truth that Jesus shared with this man. Here is Jesus, a nobody, talking to somebody, the most elected and the most distinguished man of the Sanhedrin. I want us to hear for ourselves the great truth that Jesus really shared with this man. You see, Nicodemus came to Jesus for some answers about religion. What he received were some answers about redemption. And we need to learn that. Some people will try to talk to us about something and trying to argue. Stop that and deal with that person about redemption. And that is the key. All right. Let's look on it. Three things about this passage that is familiar to many of you. The first thing I want you to notice is on verse 1, that Nicodemus was a religious man. And let's look a little bit about his sincerity, about his religion. Now, also, verses 4 to 8, Jesus answered him, and rather than clarifying everything, Jesus really confused him. And that's what the gospel does first to unbelievers, because, see, we don't have, as unbelievers, we don't have the Holy Spirit to tell us what the truth is, and so when somebody tells us openly the truth of the gospel, we get confused, and that's proper, and we're going to look on it. And then, as I read the passage and read the passage, I got anxious to see if Nicodemus really got saved or not. Have you ever questioned that? You know the passage, you read it, and you said, did Nicodemus ever get saved? And we're going to look into that and see the great lesson for all of us. All right? Let's talk about verses 1 and 2. Nicodemus was a religious man. Look at what the Bible said. John 3, verse 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees, I mean the ruling elite body of religion, named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He has authority to put people in jail, has authority to bring people to court. Verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night. The Bible three times after say that. It's amazing. And said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. That tells me that he had heard, or maybe he saw the miracles of Jesus. Now, the first thing that you learn here in verse 1 is that he was a Pharisee. What is that? He kept the law. he was morally pure to a degree that you and I cannot imagine. And Jesus recognized that. If you put your hand here and go with me to the Gospel of Matthew's in chapter 5 and in verse 20, Jesus recognized the diligent and the part that these Pharisees went into religion. Look at verse 20 in Matthew chapter 5. "For I say to you," said Jesus, "that unless your righteousness," talking to people, "exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees." In other words, unless you are more holy than the Pharisees, he said, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we see that Jesus recognized that this was a religious man. Let's put it in this way. This was not just anyone from there. He was a very serious man. He was a religious man. He was a man who do not deny God. He was a man who, like yesterday, some people told me, "Are you telling us that we were taught wrong about God?" I said, "I just want you, the sermon is recorded. You can write to us and you can listen again." So I had to greet the family. I had to go all the way to the home of Darlene to have the fellowship with the family. So I don't have time to, but there were a lot of people outside. They were Roman Catholics and were trying to tell me, are you saying, that's the last thing you want to say to people, you are wrong. I said, are you saying we learned wrong? I said, no, I'm saying that you need to hear it again and compare what you know to what the scripture said. I had one of the best times of my life with so many people asking this, and because I was that McDonald's pastor, they want to know what I taught those people. And there were McDonald's people all over the place, the manager of McDonald's, the representatives of McDonald's, and they want to know what I taught there. And I'm glad that my sermon was from McDonald's, Psalm 90 and verse 10. And people, you know, we need to have a lot of patience with people. They are ignorant of this. See, Nicodemus had paid the tithe. He did everything the law said to do. He kept the written law and the tradition of the elders. Not only that, the whole tradition, all right? He never touched a woman. He probably avoided looking at them when possible. He will not come into contact with a sinner. He was a holy man. Still, what we do does not change who we are. That's very important. See, that's what religion teaches. You do this, you do this, you do this. But who we are in the eyes of God, sinners, is different. All right? Your religious activities will not do the job either to make you to heaven. That's very important. And people asked me yesterday, do we have to come to this church day and night in order to go to heaven? No, you don't hear right. You get this, get the tape. How much is the tape, say some people? It's free. Oh, wow, they said. Amazing, no? Amazing that we were able to communicate. I thought it was a very simple sermon, and God used something simple to reach the people. Nothing you have, do, or nothing you do, or nothing you are, change what you are. And what we are, look at what the Bible said in the book of Romans. If you go with me to the book of Romans in chapter 3, all right? In verse 23. Nothing that we do, nothing that we perform can change this. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I explained yesterday that my baptism as a baby, because there were 98% Catholics, do not save me from the condemnation of Adam. And they were all shaking. Now, what do we do now? I'm glad that was kind of a spirit. What do we do now? And here's what the Bible says. If you go to chapter 5 of Romans, and in verse 12, we make it really worse. Look at Romans 5 and verse 12. "Therefore, just through one man sin into the world, and death through sin, and thus death is spread to all men because all have sinned." And therefore, there is no one of us that was born saved. There is no one of us that were baptized when we were a baby and people were responsible for us. Each one of us is responsible to God by itself. Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a true religious man, but he was unsaved. And that's very hard to say, but I'm saying this on the light of the scripture, not on the light of my mind. A lot of questions I have yesterday. One of them is saying, are you saying that I baptized my babies and they're unsaved? Now, the people listen. I'm surprised. They were listening. I said, I'm not saying anything. I'm just reading the Bible. We are born sinners, but that's what we baptize. Oh, you baptize it. Well, how about God baptizing them? Well, the priest baptizing. Who baptized the priest? And people were shaking their head. What's the solution? Just listen to the tape, get a Bible, and read it. I don't want to tell them. So what do these Baptist church believe? Well, we believe what this book said. And what the book said, well, you had to read it. I tell you, I really enjoy. I went to the dinner really happy. I said, they're going to ask me. They don't, nobody asked me anything, but they had served me and they cared for me like I was something special. And not just a man like anybody else. Just telling them what the Bible said. Nicodemus was a religious man, and maybe you are a religious man. Maybe you are listening over KKNC, or you are listening over the internet, and you're a religious person, but your religion doesn't make any contribution to your stay in heaven. That's what happened. All right. Now, verses 4 to 8, let's go back to John chapter 3, verses 4 to 8. Here is a PhD who is confused with a little boy called Jesus. He's confused. Look at it. It's just amazing. He's really confused. When Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again, it messed up his mind. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, let's be fair to Nicodemus. If you don't know anything about religion, you don't know anything about the Bible, and somebody stops you and said to you, you must be born again, would that not be confusing? I think the verses that follow are natural. They are not bad. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? You know what he's thinking? He's thinking physically, all right? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? See, Nicodemus could not grasp how that could be. He imagined himself going back into his mother's womb to be born the second time. So he asked Jesus, how in the world is this going to happen? Nicodemus knows that he's in the presence now of a mystery, and he wants the answer. And Jesus gave the answer, all right? Look at verse 5. Most assuredly, I said to you, unless one is born, and now here's the more confusing thing, of water and the Spirit, said verse 5, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now Jesus is putting some elements in the life of this theologian who knows the Old Testament that he can grasp and put together. Jesus gave him the answer. And what Jesus said is this, that as the physical birth is a combination of a male and a female, so is the spiritual. It's a combination of water and the Spirit. Now, he's talking to a theologian, so the answer will make sense in his mind. Now, what is water? The meaning of water. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5 in the Bible, and in verse 26, there was an instruction to husband and how to deal with his wife. Let me read verse 25 is the context. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And now he, what if I have a disagreement with my wife? Which, if you are like me, I have many disagreements with my wife. All right? That we all have disagreement. My wife is short, I'm tall, so we are different. All right? And so how you solve the disagreement? We solve it through Bible study. We learn to do this through Bible study. Look at verse 26. That he, the husband, might sanctify, might really purify and cleanse the wife, that she will not make mistakes, with the washing of water by what? By the word. So water in this special situation is the word. So Jesus said, "You, if you want to be born again, there is a combination that need to be. You need to be confronted in your life. First is water, which is I can go into the Old Testament and show you. Water always was the word. So the word of God had to be there, and there is a reason for that. If you go with me to the Book of Romans, in chapter 10, and this church you know this very well. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17, the reason why Jesus said that the word of God is the element that will cause you to believe is because in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17, Jesus clarified the mystical power of the word of God. Look at verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some Bibles say the word of Christ. Christ is God, so that makes no difference. So faith is is coming into your life when you read the word of God. That's the difference between this book and a book of philosophy. A book of philosophy can convince your mind, can give you directions and the way and the other, but this book of God will bring conviction into your life, will speak to your soul, because God wrote it, remember? 2 Timothy 3:16, the word of God is the coming of God. And so Jesus said, if you want to be born again, there is a combination that you need to use. You need to have a mixture there, and they need to be united. First is the word of God. You cannot be converted unless it's the word of God. Now you hear a song and you're emotionally touched. That's possible. But converted, to really be saved, is that the word of God has to point you out salvation. Now Jesus says this also, remember in John 10, he said also, you need to be water and the Spirit. The Spirit of God needs to teach you. I can show you the passage. I can speak about the preaching about the passage. But it is the Spirit of God that will lead you right there. If you go back to John chapter 14 with me, there is a great a statement about it, and also in chapter 15. In chapter 14 and in verse 26, the Bible says this, but the Helper, and the Bible clarifies who is the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, that means it was not acting at that moment in the world, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Some people say, what? Where do I read the Bible? Well, I said, what do you like? History? War? You like love between man and women. It's everything is in the Bible. I show you the book to read it. And one man said, "Oh, love! Tell me." So I read the Song of Solomon. And he started reading the Song of Solomon. He get really excited. He said, "I never knew the Bible say that." But you know what say that? That's the intensity of God's love on us. Amazing. But here the Bible said that God will send the Holy Spirit to bring into remembrance what you read. You keep on reading. That's what I tell people. Keep on reading. You don't understand, then keep on reading. And where in another scripture will ring the bell to this scripture that you read before? It's not because you're smart. It's not because you're intellectual. It's because the Holy Spirit do it. And if you go to chapter 15 and verse 26, the Holy Spirit is also acting. In chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceed from the Father, he will testify of me. You know, that text was in my book when I was in sixth grade. In 1850, President Sarmiento was an ambassador of Argentina in the United States. And he was elected president even when he did not run or came to our country. He was such a man of integrity. And I think he became a believer, because the first thing he did in 1850 is in the book of histories of my country, in Argentina, he called 70 teachers of the United States who knew Spanish to teach Spanish in university through the Bible. And they have to, and they will graduate it when they read perfectly the book of Revelation. Amazing, in my country. No wonder my country by the year 1910 was so strong and so wonderful, and they brought direction into the government. You see, the Word of God is so important. See, when we want to witness, let us use the Word of God and relax. We are not winning the argument. God is going to win the argument if he wants to, through the Holy Spirit. When we want to witness to our children, we expose them to the Bible. And if you read the Bible will speak to you. In what way? The Holy Spirit will do it. There is no doubt that the new birth is a mysterious thing. None of us truly understand everything there is to know about it. It is still a mystery, even to those who are, have experience like me and others. However, don't let the fact that it is a mystery cause you to avoid to search it out. And let me give you two little examples. You don't let the mystery of electricity cause you to sit on the dark, don't you? Electricity is a mystery. Yes, I can turn on the light or turn off the light, but it's a mystery. Oh, we know how to do it, but it's still a mystery. I'm going to go to something more simple. You don't let the mystery of how a brown cow can eat green grass and give yellow butter and white milk, that mystery do not stop you from enjoying butter, milk, and ice cream, don't you? But if you look in the fields, what those animals eat and the milk that comes out should go through your head what really goes on, all right? There are many things that we do not understand in life, but we still believe in them. So do not allow the mystery of the new birth to keep you from being saved by no searching the scripture. You need to keep on searching. I don't understand that. That's beautiful. I said, really? Oh, I don't understand many things. And what do? I just keep reading. Somewhere, somehow, 5 years from now, I got a verse. Because, oh, wow, this really was good. And that was not my ingenuity, not my intelligence, was the Holy Spirit. That is the key. Now, we come to the real juicy. I don't know what you believe, but did Nicodemus get saved or not? I search it out and I come up with this answer. I think he did. And I'm going to give you the reason why. If you go to the Gospel of John in chapter 7, in verse 45 to 53, you will learn with me that Nicodemus stood up for Jesus in the Sanhedrin. All right? Now, look at John Gospel, chapter 7, let me start reading from verse 45. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" And the officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." The officers of the army said, you know, when you listen to him, it's just amazing. Now look at verse 47. Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believe in him? But this crowd does not know the law is a curse." Now look at verse 50. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Thus our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he's doing. They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has been risen out of Galilee." And everyone went to his own house. So I believe that Nicodemus and the Sanhedrin and the medal of the theologian, he stood for Jesus and said, "Now what are you doing with Jesus is wrong, because not according to the law." More, if you go by the end, after the death of Jesus, that's John chapter 19, all right? John chapter 19, verse 38 on, if you go in that way, Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea to bury the body of Jesus after the crucifixion. Now, those who have lost somebody in the family knows how heavy is to bury someone, whether you put that person in a box, or that you put that person cremated, or you put the, there is a lot of money to spend. It's not free. The state only, I don't know how much the Social Security give you, but they don't give you money even for the flowers. And so it's very expensive to bury somebody, all right? And so now look at here, the passage that he helped Joseph of Arimathea. I'm reading verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body of Jesus. Now come Nicodemus, verse 39. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, perfumes, about 100 pounds. 100 pounds of perfume. 10 ounces is about $2,000-$3,000. If you can buy this perfume in Israel. 10 ounces is 10, one buyer told me $10,000. 10 ounces of perfume, that kind of perfume. Verse 40. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, and the cost, as the custom of the Jew is to bury. Verse 41. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one was yet laid, brand new. How much that cost? I don't know. But Nicodemus buy the tomb. So, said verse 42, they, that means Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, lay Jesus because of the Jewish preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. So Nicodemus put his wallet and the well-being on the life of Jesus. Now, that is a kind of thing that a saved man does. What did he do? He bear fruit. He bear the fruit of a believer. When Joseph of Arimathea, I'm very sure, I don't know the connection between Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. But when the two talk together, Nicodemus said, "Oh, I'm too busy. Go ahead, do it yourself." No, he bear fruit. When the crisis came, is when the believer really shows. You go through a crisis, you go through an amount of torment into your mind and heart and so on, but you always come through with Jesus, because you're a believer. You bear fruit. So I have a conclusion on this. It is found, and I typed it in my outline, in John 2, verse 24 and 25. And at the end of John 2, 24, 25, before we come to the reading of Nicodemus, there are two verses that caught my attention. You may say, "Well, this has to do," but I want to explain it. Well, this has to do with the whole thing. Look at in chapter John, verse 24, Jesus did not commit, said the Bible, himself to them, because he knew all men. He don't trust anybody around him, because he knew all men. You know when you know when somebody is trying to fool you and don't trust you, and Jesus, "I don't trust these people." All right? Now look at it in verse 25. "And have no need," the Bible said, "that anyone should testify of man." And he doesn't need somebody to watch out with this and the other. He knew then. Why? Jesus said, "For he knew what was in man." Jesus knows what is in your heart and in my heart. We can fool each other, but we cannot fool God. That's so important. Before Nicodemus ever came to Jesus, Jesus knew what was in his heart. Jesus knew what he needs when he came that night. Jesus knew what answer to put in the heart of this man, how to deal with this man in a marvelous way. When you deal with somebody, we never know how we're going to answer to help. But don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit will lead you with the right question, with the right information for this man. Leo's daughter, the most tender and the more affected in the family, because she lives half block and was close to him. She said, "Pastor, why do you choose? Where do we fly away?" It's still in my mind. I need to answer that question. You know why I choose? Because when I preach, I always preach on something that I remember from the person telling me that. And I remember that Leo did a big deal in McDonald's that day when I said, "I'm going to read something that you will be shaken." Leo was very vocal, very tremendous in bad words and all this. And he just blessed me for saying that. But he went home. And the preacher that night was Billy Graham and preached on that verse. And Leo got convicted because he called me that night. He said, "I'm very sorry. Very sorry. I misunderstood you." That's all right. Nobody hurts me. I don't want you to hurt God. Because if you get hurt by God, you're gone. And so, Jesus knows you and me. Jesus knows. He knows whether we are saved or not. You know that? People said, "Your congregation is saved." I don't know, but I know somebody who knows. The chairman of the board? No, not the chairman of the board, no. God. Jesus knows. He knows whether we are saved or not. He knows whether or not we have been born again. Some people say, "Oh, you know, look at this person. He come, no come." Don't judge anybody, please. Hold your tongue. Don't judge anybody. Well, we see what people do and we wonder, but we don't judge it. We pray for them that God will convict them. He also knows that if we will come to him like we are, you don't have to change. We can leave this building, leave this broadcast you're listening, save if you turn your life to him. If you're really serious and you say, "God, I blew it. I know I'm a sinner. Let Jesus do what he wants with me. I trust him." In that day of judgment, in that day where I want to be confronted by heaven, I will be safe and saved because Jesus took my judgment upon him. Now, that's the story of being born again. You have understood that the Bible and the Holy Spirit brought you to Christ. Not a magazine, not a movie, but the Bible and the Holy Spirit brought you to Christ. If that's the case, then enjoy your Christian life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we can enjoy your presence. We can enjoy who we are, not because we are smart, but because you took the time to confront us one day as you did to Nicodemus. Thank you that the Word of God never changed, and thank you the Holy Spirit never repent of saving souls. And so, Father, until you come, help us to proclaim the Word. Help us to read your Word to be sure that our life is guided and is secure in your Word. Thank you for saving our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.